Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. It's Friday, May 20th, and I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sawatita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is in Hawaii, celebrating a wonderful 50-year marriage with his wife, Anne. As he pointed out on his Facebook page, he is celebrating 50 years in the 50th state. They have some great photos up already, so head on over to Bill's Facebook page and take a look and comment. Bill is here live weekdays at noon, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Fridays, Bill gives a shout-out to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, and we have the editor and publisher of that here, the Green Valley News, Sawatita Sun, Tucson Local Media, and Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Sawatita Mayor Tom Murphy. If you have questions or comments, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me is Dylan Smith. He's editor and publisher, as I mentioned earlier, of TucsonSentinel.com. Good to see you, Dylan.
Hey, great to be on. And hey, Bill and Ann, happy anniversary. Hope you're having fun.
And we have Mayor Tom Murphy. Always glad to see you, Tom.
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be here. Happy anniversary to Bill as well. And as I like to refer to us as the B team, I'm happy to be on the B team.
There we go. When Bill's on vacation and we show up, that's okay. I like to give him a little bit of time off. And as I mentioned on Monday, 50 years in a marriage in Green Valley, we call that a good start.
Yes, absolutely. So,
good for Bill and Ann. And
it might work out.
It's like this internet thing. It might catch on. And cell phones. We'll just have to see. So, Mayor Murphy, I've been driving around town and seeing a lot of cars decorated with 2022. Congratulations, graduate. We have two of them across the street from me. It's been the week. We have unleashed hundreds of graduates onto the community. And
yes.
You spent a long time on the school board. This is always a nice week.
It is. And they continue to invite me back, which I'm always appreciative of. Now as the mayor and not as a school board member. And I think it was Sawatita High School was about 220 graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And Walden Grove last night, it was 277, I think, was the number.
Wow.
So it was a lot. It's connected, obviously, to our growth over the years. When I was first elected to the school board, we had about 2,000 students in 2004. And now we're up to 6,500. So that's a really good barometer of our growth. And it was, I think back in the day, they collected about $2 million in scholarships, and the collective group of the two high schools was about $15
million. Wow.
So incredible. We've made a lot of progress on it. I was proud to be part of that.
That's a really interesting data point, because there's still this perception from those of us up here in Tucson who don't get down that way often enough that is, as Dan was referring to, that, you know, kind of cliche that those are sleepy retirement communities down there. And
no,
they're not at this point. Mm-hmm. There are families down there, you know, working folks, people raising their kids, sending high school graduates out into the world by the hundreds.
Yes, by the hundreds. And they're really achieving a lot of good things. You know, a lot of them are going off to college, some technical schools, the military, the workforce. So they are really, and they're just great kids. That was my proudest part of working with them, is we're just turning out good citizens, and they support each other and take care of each other. That's just really good to see. Wish I could pick a couple of them individually to cover my Social Security and retirement. That would be nice, but I can't.
Yeah, I always remind them, work hard.
Yes.
You're working for me now. You mentioned an interesting number, 6,500, which is the number of students in the Sawatita Unified School District. And that number had dropped quite a bit during the pandemic. You had a lot of people who were going off to virtual schools or homeschooling or whatever, but that number really has bounced back.
It has. And one of the things I noticed, there was two different color robes. So I asked Dr. Valenzuela, and one was the Digital Pathways Academy graduates. And I happened to ask him about that, and it's still going well, but he is seeing a return to in-person.
Yes.
I think they will still keep that in place. But and I think a lot of it is because of a lot of the great programs that they've built over the years, you know, whether it be band or drama, sports. They just... you know, winning state titles, you know, the famous Walden Grove Pac Dance team. You know, so having that full complement of activities, I think for a lot of folks, they want that.
And the district is actually helping answer that question long before graduation, which is, what am I going to do next? Because among those programs also is construction,
yes,
heavy equipment, auto repair, robotics, this stuff that just sends them off to that training they need post-secondary and into careers.
And that comes a lot. Dr. Valenzuela, superintendent, holds a monthly meeting called Sahuarita Wins, and he brings the business community, the nonprofits, the town, the school district together, and really listens to what the needs of the workforce. We always hear about the needs of workforce development. But if you're not engaging with the workforce and the businesses, how do you know what that need is? And that's those JTED programs that they've been filling over the years. So I think that's been a positive as well.
So we have about 500 kids. They have some skills. A lot of them do. They're graduates. They're no longer in school. How do we keep them in a town like Sahuarita?
Right. And I think that's part of what we've been working on over the last few years. You know, we've always been known as a great bedroom residential community, but going on bringing in jobs with our SamTech, Sahuarita Events Manufacturing Technology Center, Hydronautics was already there, the hospital. So bringing, as well as retail. So you're not having to leave the town literally to go shopping. So between retail and workforce, along with keeping our community safe, which we're always rated as one of the safest communities, it's that quality of life to bring them back is what we hope to do.
On that note, what kind of impact are you seeing from kind of the move amongst many white-collar companies to not return to offices? Is that kind of playing a role in what's going on down there? We saw with a number of what were kind of crowded office buildings in downtown Tucson
yes,
are going to be empty for the near future because those companies are not requiring people to go back to the office. They're still going to work from home.
Right. And you know, certainly we're going to see a change in general. We didn't have a lot of office buildings to begin with.
No, so. But I mean, the people who are there working, are they working for those companies and working from
yes,
home?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, watching this hyper growth, I would say, that we're having, you know, we have thousands of lots, either in platting or in the pre-platting stage. And I think that does give that flexibility for workers that could be relocating from California to live here, because we hear a lot of that, cash offers above asking price, but they could still be working. We haven't tracked that specifically, but one of the things we're doing as a town, town government, is a space study to maybe open up our minds, my mind, because I'm sort of old school and, you know, you should be in the office and, you know, working. But is that necessary if you're going to hire this great IT person? You know, could they be somewhere else working for the town of Sahuarita? And what's the cost if we have to have office space for every job within the town? Mm-hmm. So we're really, I have to personally look at that again because I'm old school. I think everybody should be at work, and I had to do. But,
or at least working.
Or at least working. And I know there's been studies that show that sure. From everything from being more effective to less effective, it just depends on the sector. So we're looking at that as ourselves as a town, because with construction costs, do you need to build a cubicle and office for every single employee of the town of Sahuarita? So we're looking at that as ourselves.
We are with Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuarita. Along those lines, a few months ago, you said to me, you know, you really can't touch anything new in Sahuarita for under $300,000 regarding homes.
Right.
And that is absolutely true.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if we get a lot of those kids to stick around because they simply can't afford to move out. But we are seeing a loosening up because the growth is just monstrous. We just have houses being built all over the town. What's that going to do for us?
Yeah, I think, well, the flexibility for where you can work, I think, will come into play. But as we're seeing with interest rates climbing, I think those price points will be hitting a ceiling to make it maybe more challenging. And that's why we're looking at various ways. We have a manufactured home community coming into the town, American Resorts. So I think we're looking at all of those aspects. We're also seeing rentals, you know, skyrocket. You know,
sure.
A few years ago, most everything had a 1 in front of it. 1,200, 1,400, 1,600 a month. Now pretty much everything has a 2 in front of it. You know, 2,000, 1,100. So that is a concern of ours, because where does your entry-level worker, your single mom have the affordability to do it? So it is something that we're focusing on.
So listening to an NPR report this morning, and they said 90,000 restaurants closed across the country during the pandemic. I get it. People weren't going out. But the struggle remains because of inflation and because they have to pay workers more money. And this is a huge, huge struggle. They talked to one guy. It was not in Arizona, but for a large cheese pizza, if you add everything on it, not including the tip, if you have it delivered, it's $31.
Right.
And a lot of people are just saying, not doing it anymore.
Right.
And so are we seeing, because of the increase in wages, which has its good points, but are we seeing some of the crunch in our own community, because we rely on sales tax revenue? Are we seeing any of that yet, or what are you hearing?
No, we certainly are, because we're building more commercial and retail. We're in a very good place from a budgetary standpoint, but I know it's a concern of almost every business. Where do the workers come from?
Absolutely.
And I know they're struggling with that. And as you continue to see fuel prices escalate, which touches every product, you know, especially from diesel perspective with the farm and the produce and all of those types of things, I think it'll continue to get challenging. But
absolutely.
So far we're in a very good place financially.
Okay, we are with Tom Murphy. He's the mayor of Sahuarita for our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. And just before our break is Bill's favorite time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, the place everybody's talking about. Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery is open for breakfast, lunch, with indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickup are also welcome. Mona's is at the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's also represents a so far unkept campaign promise
yes,
by Mayor Murphy. You told me you're going to get a Mona's down in Sahuarita for us. What is going on? I see the EG's going up.
EG's is going up. People are excited about that. Probably not as excited as bringing a Mona's down.
No.
So I will continue to work on not breaking my campaign promise.
This is going to be the next banner headline in the paper.
We are going to hammer him till the editor is happy. And Dylan knows full well that if it's happening to the editor, it just kind of goes up the priority list.
Absolutely.
That gives you power of the press.
There you go. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. I'm with Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy, joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. But Mayor Murphy, you are more than a mayor. That job comes with a lot of obligations to local area groups. What are some of those? What do you spend your time doing?
Making residents as happy as possible. Most importantly, a particular editor.
There we go.
In our local area.
I have trained you well.
Okay. So
delivering that morning bagel to Dan.
Yeah. Sure. No, sure. Mona's. That's a long drive.
Okay. You only did that once.
And no, it's been interesting because one of my surprises when I was on the council for a couple of years before coming mayor, it really was a little more part-time basis. And then all of a sudden, when you become the mayor, you get more invites than I actually even knew organizations existed. Which is fine. I really love doing that. And before the pandemic, I would be briefing the quarterly meetings at the new residents at Quail Creek, introducing them to the town and informing them that even though they have a Green Valley mailing address, they are in the town of Sahuarita. So that was my most important thing.
Yep.
We just stood up a Sahuarita Rotary, which I'm very proud of.
Yes.
I'm one of the charter members of that. I serve on the Salvation Army Advisory Board for Green Valley Sahuarita. So I'm very blessed. I have the ability to basically, my wife gives me permission to have the ability serve the community. And I really enjoyed it between my 14 years on the school board. I'm a parish member of San Martin de Porres Church, serve on their board. So, you know, just trying to stay as connected with the community as we continue to grow.
And even outside of Sahuarita, on the Pima County level, you are representing us.
Yes. Yeah. We have fun meetings at the PAG RTA, our regional council meetings.
That's what I hear.
We're working on our RTA next, which I think is obviously very important to the community. They have a nice little video PAG RTA does about these boxes and where the funding comes from. And people, I think, believe that a lot of it comes from the federal government and the state government, but the vast impact to our local infrastructure over these last 15, going on 20 years since 2006 has been the RTA. A lot of times people, when they see these improvements, they, I think, anticipate that's a Sahuarita improvement from the town or the city or wherever it might be. But for the most part, especially during the Great Recession, they virtually all came from RTA funding. So that $2 billion will be very hard to replace if we don't continue that going forward.
So tell me how the conversation goes when you are in a town that is growing rapidly and the schools, which you have no control over the funding or anything, but you know you're going to need one, and the growth is just pressing you in all different areas, everything from sewer to schools to just the roads and everything. So how do you deal with the state, or do you deal with the state and say, look, it looks like we're going to need another school? What's your part going to be?
No, that's more of a collaboration partnership with the school district. So all those platted lots I was telling you about earlier, we're in constant communication with the school district. And when a developer comes in, even though it's a voluntary rooftop fee, zoning is not it's not a requirement that a town gives it. So we want those conversations to happen. ahead of time before they come to us. And it's been a really good relationship. As you know, we're literally across the street from each other,
right,
the school district and the town. So having that ongoing open communication allows the school district to stay out in front of this growth and gives them the numbers and the availability for them to advocate to the school's facilities board, because they have accurate data on when the next school should be funded. And as you know, a couple of our schools are in partnership with the town, that the school uses the parks, the
right,
fields during the day, and we use them at night, which we think is a good value to our residents, because we're using these facilities sort of 24/7.
But the state school facilities board has a history of not funding schools to the level that the districts believe. And
well,
you know this from being
I do,
on the board.
And actually on their website, it's funding to the minimum adequacy standard is what the actual quote is.
Well, now here's how this plays into it, because then the school goes, forget it, we're going to go ask the community to pay
right,
for it. And then if they're paying for schools, if the town suddenly has a project it wants the community to pay for through a bond, are you now competing with the schools?
Right. And that goes back to that communication, because we would have to look at timing just as we would even as an individual silo. You have to look at the condition of the economy and sort of the feeling of the residents. But no, most, I think every school that has been constructed in the town has at least had supplemental funding from the parents. When the Great Recession was there, they actually went out individually as a bond and built it themselves.
Speaking of growth, the town just made a pretty serious decision that'll have some impacts on how you can grow over the long term. Can you quickly, succinctly explain why you took the move you make about the water system?
Yes. Quickly, I'm not sure.
Because it's tangled and, you know, we could get very far into the weeds on it.
It is. Well, knowing that water company was for sale, and it actually is on the edge of our CCAP, Sahuarita East Area Conceptual Plan, that had great interest in our town. We didn't know who the other players were, to be honest. We just knew, we thought we were in first position, but, you know, no one shares that information until it's over. So we were disappointed that we were not, but FICO Farmers is a private company. Global Water is a private company. And I had opened my mind up that our goal was to serve this growing community and hopefully bringing the state land through annexation into the town. And I thought we were the best one to do it. And after visiting Global Water and meeting the team, I felt there's sometimes more than one road to get to your destination. And this would have taken condemnation.
Yeah, you could have gone in and said, yes, through eminent domain,
right,
we want to take over this water company.
Which would have required a vote of our residents, and only a very small percentage of our residents is served by this water mm-hmm. company. So I personally struggled with what was our convening message that, even though we haven't been in the water business before, they wouldn't be a great player. And again, as I learned more, it actually helped the fastest growing community from the last previous census. We were second fastest growing community, Maricopa, going to see that they were a good partner, and it's only gotten stronger. They already had one small water company purchased in the town, Las Quintas. So I and the council thought, after this journey, after learning who they were and investigating it, that's all they do all day, every day, is focus on water and wastewater, which is, you know, sort of golden in the desert. And at the end of the day, as opposed to being, you know, going to a confrontational perspective, we thought, well, you know, at least for the next 2.5 years, you know, we took that off the table,
yeah,
and we're going to do everything we can. I will personally to try to make this successful. And I think they're a good player.
Because right now that area has relatively few residents,
yes,
but over the long term, over decades,
yes,
there could be quite a bit of development there.
Yes. And we will certainly see Sahuarita Road between Vail, Corona de Tucson, and Sahuarita. When we look many years down the road, we probably won't know where one ends and one starts as we do now, because that is really the growth area with the Sonoran Corridor, a lot of land in Pima County that they're looking to develop, you know, south of the airport,
mm-hmm,
the Port of Tucson. And at the end of the day, we felt that let's let them prove themselves. And I think they will step up, and I think it will be successful. And if it's not, we still have that ability to go to our residents, but I thought it was worthwhile to give them a chance.
But that was kind of an uphill climb for you because you, for that vote, you would need a vote of the residents. So number one, 65% of the customers of that water company are outside the town limits. And number two, you're going in and condemning eminent domain. You're basically saying it's legal, but it looks heavy-handed.
Yes.
This would have been a really tough win to get.
I 100% agree. And our council tends to feel less government is better government mm-hmm. overall. And again, after learning, meeting the team and learning what they have done up in Casa Grande and Maricopa, we thought it was certainly worth giving that an opportunity to be successful.
Yes, and I also went up and visited and toured their plant and all of Maricopa, which is quite something, having grown up in the Phoenix area, and that was a speck.
Yes.
Not even a speck on the map. And suddenly, it's the fastest growing community in the state.
Yes.
And and they've been quite instrumental in helping them along, quite honestly.
Absolutely. And
water.
When I did a tour, seeing that growth that's happening, as you mentioned, the only reason that was able to take place is they were forward-thinking, global water, to have the assured water supply. So when the town was ready, it was truly a partnership. So when the town was ready to go, market conditions exist, water wasn't one of the challenges. And I think up there, as well as wastewater, which we happen to run.
Well, let's turn our attention just a little bit to American resort communities. And it was announced recently that Sahuarita is probably, I don't think it's been okayed yet, but going to bring in about 400 manufactured homes. This is a developer. They're starting in the low 200s.
Right.
Not a typo. Manufactured homes starting in the low 200s. You do not own the property. And the development wraps around the dump.
Right.
Okay, so what is alluring about this?
Well, I refer to that as the southernmost ski resort in the, in the United States of America.
The rest of us call it a landfill. Yeah.
And but it is, it's a transfer station now.
Yes, I know. You still dump stuff there.
Yes. Yeah. But I remember years ago, I think it was KB Homes up around Los Reales, when mm-hmm. they went in there, and and I drove up there all the time going to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and I thought, wow, you know, who would buy around there? And it went crazy.
Yeah, sure.
They sold, you know, tons of homes. That was already zoned for that particular use over there. Plus, there's going to be an RV park as well attached to it around there. And, you know, we're just open to all businesses. And if this is in a more affordable basis, then I'm certainly, you know, open to it. It's going to have a lot of amenities, I understand. They had a pre-application meeting with the town. They haven't actually submitted anything yet. But from a price point, it's called pit setting at ground level.
Sure.
So it's going to feel like, you know, like a home. And it is a land lease. I think it's about $500 for the mm-hmm. land lease, but that's the amenities and the taxes. And I was looking at a couple of, mobile home parks in the area, and they go from a rental basis from, you know, high threes to $500. So I thought it was very equivalent to, you know, sort of the old style mobile home parks that, you know, you've seen in other parts of the community.
Did you ever in your entire life think you'd be talking about $200,000 affordable mobile homes? I mean,
probably not, but you know,
I just wonder if
we're
this
at
is
a
really...
$350,000-$400,000 price point. It goes back to the having a plethora of opportunities for hitting different price points, and I don't think for the near future we're going to hit a $200,000 home price point. So this is probably one of the alternatives.
It does kind of boggle the mind because you're not talking about, you know, having 5 acres with a manufactured home, you know, out in the middle of nowhere where you can be away from people. Yeah. You know,
it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Yes. And it's not their first project, though.
No. I hope to visit
projects,
one of theirs, just as I did Global Water. We do have a caller on the line, and I can't believe he's calling in. Bill, how are you?
Hey, how are you? This does not sound like the B team to me, Mayor. This is the A team. I'll tell you, you guys sound really, really good. Greetings to all of you. It's a little after, going on 10 o'clock in the morning here as I'm sitting looking out over the waves breaking on Waikiki, and we're having a little breakfast out on the balcony listening to the show. Hey, to make this a real legit call about news, Mayor, what are the chances for RTA next?
Well, I think, honestly, it's what the plan is put together. I've said that many times at our meetings. It doesn't matter what Tom Murphy wants or the rest of the regional council. It's how the plan looks and if the voters will pass it. So, you know, I'm a little concerned with some of the conversations that have been going on very early on with the Citizens Advisory Committee that's actually putting this plan together. Because if it doesn't look regional in nature, and I believe transportation in nature, then I think it could be a challenge. But fortunately, the last time they did this, they had about 400 outreach meetings through all the different municipalities and parts of the community. So if we put a good plan together and pass a good plan, and it's unanimous as it was last time, I think we have a very good chance because we have the needs. But if it looks too centric for any one particular municipality or too heavy in one area as another, then I think it will be a challenge.
Sounds interesting. I just wanted to check in. And again, you guys are the A-team in my eyes, and I really appreciate your work. The show sounds great.
Thank you for calling,
Bill. Absolutely. And were you rubbing it in with the waves and the breakfast?
Oh, my God. And it's just, this has been such an incredible week because it doesn't always look like this on Waikiki because of the storm system they had north of Kauai. And these waves have just been, it's been unbelievable. Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, congratulations on your 50 years together. That's not a small achievement.
Yes.
Thank you.
Keep posting those photos. We are enjoying them very much.
Okay.
I want to see some surfing pics, Bill. Get in the waves.
Yeah, all the credit goes to the photographer and the family, Ann Buckmaster. She has a really good eye.
Yeah, she does.
It's great stuff. Okay. All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Okay, our thanks to Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuarita, and I had a whole bunch more questions for him, but we're going to have to just get him on again, and I really appreciate you coming out.
Thank you, and that means Bill has to go on vacation again, right?
He already has the next one planned.
I'll be happy to join you.
Good. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio, and you are always invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, at 520-790-2040. When we return, we're going to launch into the Friday Roundtable with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable. We have Dylan Smith. He's the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. It's always good to talk to the mayor, Dylan. I know that you don't get outside of Tucson nearly enough. What do you think about what's going on down there?
It's really interesting to see how over the past couple of decades those communities have really changed their character in a fundamental way. And we talk about this pretty much every time we're on with Tom Murphy. There are a ton of people up here in Tucson who just don't realize that yet, that these are, yeah, you know, it's not just a Green Valley with a couple of retirement homes anymore. And it really strikes me that pretty soon, those communities are going to grow together, and there won't be, you know, kind of a firm dividing line in between Tucson and everything south of us, just much like there's not any kind of dividing line between Tucson and the northwest side,
right,
with Marana and Oro Valley and the Casas Adobes in between. It's just kind of, you know, one continuous developed area. Now, isn't that going to happen down there?
Well, it's we do have that big piece of reservation between us and Tucson that people really like, because it's that big dividing line. But at least he's honest enough, and always has been, to say that it's a bedroom community, and a lot of people did not like that.
But heading out east, you know,
correct,
in that area, that's going to be way correct more developed, isn't it?
And that's the only direction we can grow.
Yeah.
And so that's the big concern over water, and why this whole thing came up, was to kind of be the control your own future.
Mm-hmm.
And so the town is on the move. The growth is incredible. I'm not always convinced that growth is a good thing, but it's here, and you just deal with it.
It's going to be, you know, an issue. We've seen several boom and bust cycles in Arizona, and just kind of the growth as a pyramid scheme eventually falls apart, but there are ways to do it with a little bit of foresight.
Yep. TucsonSentinel.com has done some great reporting on some big stories of late, breaking news left and right. Really,
thank you.
Congratulations to your team. Your team of how many?
Well, we're growing. We are actually bringing on another reporter in a couple of weeks, who's going to be digging into cultural expression and community values. Will be her beat, like how Southern Arizona talks about itself. How do we express ourselves? How are people engaged and active in the community? And we have a new Report for America Corps member who's starting, Bianca Morales. So look for her work very soon.
Report for America is a nationwide program. It's terrific. If you can land one of those reporters, they've got great young reporters who are willing to come into your newsrooms and either work on projects or whatever you need. And it's a great program.
So we've had Benito Alcalti for the last year. He's sticking around for another year as our idea reporter, really trying to make sure that people who don't often get into the news do have someone to listen to them and, you know, convey their concerns.
And he is homegrown.
Indeed.
Benito. Yeah. So I don't think any of us was real happy with how Chuck Huckleberry exited Pima County. Again, you guys were on the forefront of the reporting there. Do you have any nagging questions about this? Again, you know, that he had planned to resign as last summer. Nobody knew about it for months. He had the accident, and then it comes to light. It was just really messy. But are you prepared to put this behind you?
Oh, I don't think anybody, probably Chuck Huckleberry, is not very happy about how all of these things played out. He was, my personal assessment is he was trying to be a little bit crafty one too many times. He did indeed retire last July 4th, started collecting his pension, kept working for the county, which was all
completely legal.
Legal, on the up and up. His contract allowed him to do it. We told people when his contract went through last time with a number of stories that, you know, look, this is going to happen. It indeed did happen. Only he didn't tell anybody about it. Even his bosses, the members of the Board of Supervisors, or, you know, the express instruction to a small number of staffers was, don't tell anybody about this. Don't let this get out. And, you know, it's indicative of how closely held it was that a lot of at least some internal Pima County reports were never updated with his change in status. We were leaked one from the middle of March that still had him as a full-time regular county employee. You know, tons of people didn't know about this. One of the lingering questions is, you know, who did know what, when, but for the most part, that's not a vital question. It was a lot of people who were told by their bosses, you know, here, do this. This is your job. You can't really blame them for doing what they were, you know, very firmly, explicitly instructed to do.
Some people thought it was much ado and it was just a media thing, that we're the only ones, because we're so enmeshed in this, we know how the county works, we know the players and everything, but that your general reader probably doesn't care about it. But there were some pretty fundamental questions there about, frankly, secrecy, about things that we should know, because this is the most powerful unelected person in Pima County.
And, you know, a very powerful person for 30 years who was, you know, doing something about how his job functions and keeping it a secret. And last time I checked, which was actually early this morning, I did check again. We still live in a democracy. This is a republic. We have a system of government that relies on citizens, residents understanding what's happening so that we can elect the right people to make choices for us. And when the most powerful person, who not an elected official, but a very powerful official, is doing things secretly, that's just not kosher.
Okay. State Constitution, Abortion Amendment. You guys broke some news on this. Tell us about it.
This is a group of mostly Tucson folks who got pretty riled up about that leaked draft Supreme Court opinion that makes it look very likely that abortion rights federally under Roe v. Wade and the Casey decision will be tossed out, returned to the states. They want to get an amendment to the state constitution on the ballot for November, guaranteeing abortion rights in the state of Arizona. The big hurdle is they need to get it on the ballot. You know, getting voters to approve it in November would be one thing. Polls indicate that even in a, you know, somewhat conservative state like Arizona, a pretty good majority of people are in favor of at least some sort of access to abortion. But they need to get, I think the number is 350,000-ish valid signatures on petitions for this amendment by July 7th. And to have any kind of real margin, they need to have 500,000 signatures. That's basically 10,000 signatures every day.
Yeah.
That's, it's a, you know, big, a huge hurdle when you're talking about being out in the summer heat in Arizona trying to find people and get, you know, good signatures. It's going to take a lot of work and probably a lot of money. We'll see if they can pull that off.
We talked with the mayor a little bit about RTA. In 2026, they're going to ask people to extend the half-cent countywide sales tax to continue the projects. You think this is going to go over? He seemed to be a little tentative on it.
Well, we're seeing some conflict in between Tucson city officials, the mayor and city council, and a lot of the other jurisdictions. Tucson wants to have more say in which projects get picked and how much is spent where. Tucson accounting for basically half the number of voters in all of Pima County are live inside the Tucson city limits. Pretty much basically half or more of the sales tax revenue that goes to the RTA is spent in Tucson businesses. But Tucson only gets one vote on the regional council. Tucson right now gets the same vote as the city of South Tucson and Suarita and the tribes and, you know, Oro Valley and Marana. So they're trying to push for some more say. For the most part, the other entities, the other jurisdictions that are in the RTA don't want to give up kind of their ability to, you know, have more of a say if they get together, at least, you know, an equal say. So that's the big point of conflict. We saw this week that Tucson City voters re-upped a half-cent sales tax.
Right,
right now it's going to be, before it was only 40% going to road repairs, now it's going to be 100% going to road repairs for a longer term. 10 years this sales tax will last, so that's a pretty significant amount of money. I think $740 million they forecast over that decade. So there's been some suggestion that Tucson could just not be a part of the RTA.
Right.
Which would ultimately doom it. It would not work if Tucson were not a participant in it. So there's going to be a lot of talk over the next year or so about how to actually structure RTA next and what projects to be a part of it. One thing that's seems to have fallen off the radar a little bit was bringing back the idea of having not just building new roads with RTA funding, but putting some of that money into maintaining things that have already been built.
We're
going to hit the point when RTA rolls around that the very first RTA projects are going to be 20 years old and maybe in need of a little bit of help.
Yeah, I get a feeling that in 20 more years after 2026, they're going to be coming back and asking for more. So,
well, it does turn into kind of a never-ending process, but that's how we got into the hole we're in with our streets and roads across Pima County, in Tucson, in some of the towns that need to go back and revisit things. Is once you build them, you got to take care of them.
Yeah,
if you don't, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
But these taxes never go away. They say they do, but the practicality kind of rears its head, and you got to be careful. So that is going to wrap up our Friday roundtable. Thank you, Dylan Smith.
Thank you.
You can follow all of his good work at TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio with Matt Russell to help you plan your weekend. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by those professionals over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
It's time for Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your next couple of days. Presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's so much to do in Silver City and Grant County. You can hike the Gila National Wilderness, visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, you there?
I'm here. Always a pleasure to be on the pop-up Shearer show, Ben. It's been a while.
I should warn you that Dylan Smith has hung on here in case you hear another voice. Those catty comments do not come from him.
What have I done to deserve such
he insisted.
Such, privilege and pleasure.
I've got nothing on my – I don't have any weekend plans, so you got to make my list for me.
There we go. So get started.
You come to the right place. So I call it craft beer for a cause. Our friends at 1055 Brewing have officially released a special beer that was made to commemorate the 100th anniversary of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. It's called United Summer Ale. It's kind of a light and slightly peppery brew made with a rare grains of paradise, which I understand are peppercorns that are indigenous to Western Africa. So starting today, guys, it's on tap at 1055 downtown, soon to be available at restaurants and bars all across Southern Arizona. And the best part, a portion of sales proceeds are going to be turned right back to the United Way. I think I have found my summer sipper, guys.
That is absolutely the best part, too. United Way does some great work. What else you got for us?
Well, tomorrow we can celebrate the role that wheat has played in our local cuisine and culture since the 18th century at the San Isidro Festival at Mission Garden from 8 a.m. to noon. You're going to be seeing wheat demonstrations. You're going to be having the opportunity to taste some of the festival's official food, the Pozole del Trigo, which contains local wheat grains. Lots of shopping there as well. And some traditional basket dancers are going to make a huge party at the San Isidro Festival, and that's tomorrow from 8 to noon.
If there's gluten, I'm down.
There you go. Dylan's in. Okay, then we're going to head over to the Marriott.
We are. Speaking of parties, tomorrow kicks off a series of poolside lounge parties at the AC Marriott downtown. Lounge by the rooftop pool, taking some great music, cold beverages, food and ice cream from the AC Hotel, Little Love Burger and Hub Ice Cream. $25 gets you in and poolside from 2 to 6. So if your doctor's telling you you need to get more splishing and splashing in your diet, this is the place to do it tomorrow, guys.
Okay, Matt Russell, thank you as always. Very informative, and really appreciate your help on Friday.
Right on. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. And quite a show, Dylan. It was good. Covered a lot of ground with the mayor. I really appreciate that, him coming in, and then Matt always adds so much to it. So
1055 Brewing.
There we go. Okay. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to longtime Buckmaster assistant Rosemary Brandt, who is awesome, producer-engineer John Couch, and Tom Fairbanks, who is here today with us, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. You make it a great fin de semana.